You would this morning, please join me again in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord God, we do desire that all glory is to you. You, Lord Jesus, you're our Savior. You're the one that we'll be reading about today and hearing you teach. We pray, Lord, by your grace, by the Spirit, you will teach our hearts. You open eyes for the need of salvation. Lord, help me by your Spirit to speak forth the truth. Help us all to receive it, to believe it. Again, we do all this for your glory, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to read God's word beginning in verse 13 down to verse 21. So someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then he said to him, "Beware. Be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I shall do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Beloved, as we come here this morning, especially as we come beginning there in verse 13, we are actually starting a new section. A new section here in the Gospel of Luke. And though this is a new section, it's actually a continuation of the same day events that started back in chapter 11 and verse 14 with the casting out of a demon. And I believe overall this new section actually goes all the way over to chapter 13, verse 9. And you could divide it up, or I would like to divide it up into four parts. The first part is here in chapter 12, verses 13, all the way down to verse 34, where he's speaking about that your riches from Jesus in this life. Then in chapter 12, verses 35 to 48, there he's going to speak about the need for your readiness. Your readiness for Jesus in this life. Then the third part is going to be in chapter 12, verses 49 to 59, the importance of your recognition of Jesus in this life. Then finally, as we get into chapter 13, before Jesus stops talking, it's going to be the importance of your repentance to Jesus in this life. You really could put this all together. And in Jesus' teaching here that we're going to begin to look at today is this, that a person who is rich and the person who is ready in this life is the person who has recognized who Jesus is and has repented. That is, the truly rich and ready person is the true believer who has recognized why Jesus came and repented of their sins. For today and even into next week, I want to talk to you about who and what it is about being truly rich in this life. I mean, who here this morning doesn't want to be rich? But do we even understand what being truly rich really is? Because, beloved, it will not be what the world says is rich. The richest person in this world, and in fact, the richest person in this room this morning, could actually be one of the poorest persons in this world. That's because, in a nutshell, the truly rich person is one who is rich towards God. It is someone who knows that the rich life is a life lived that trusts in God and that treasures God and the things of God. You see, that means the poorest person here could actually be the richest person who is here. Furthermore, it also teaches us a very important lesson that everyone here has the same opportunity, the same ability to be rich, because it's not dependent on the market. It's not dependent on your abilities, on your skills. It's not dependent on your being able to come up with an idea that other people want and will want to consume. It's not about the timing, the connections you may have in this life. No, beloved, it is because of our attitude and our actions towards Christ, that is, how you think, how you trust, and how you treasure God. How you think and how you trust and how you treasure Christ. And you see, that's something all of us here can do. Something we all have a responsibility to do. See, it's dependent on us knowing the truth about our life. As we go through this section, let me just say this. There are going to be at least three central truths about life that we just need to grab hold of. The first one is this. When you look back there in verse 15 at Jesus' statement, that one's life, even having abundance, does not life consist of his possessions. That you need and I need to understand my life does not consist in how prosperous or how many possessions I obtain or have in this life. A second very important truth that we need to grab hold of as we go through this portion of Scripture is going to be that my life is more than what I eat, drink, or wear, as we're going to see when we look in verse 23, when he says, my life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And thirdly, we need to grab hold of this reality. My life is precious in the eyes of God. From verse 24 and verse 28, we will see that. So in light of all this, we are to live our lives from a trust in God. We're to live our lives from a treasuring of God and His kingdom. And the person who does that, and the person who knows that truth about life, that's the person who is rich, and rich in the right place, rich toward God, and rich in storing up treasure in heaven. So again, beloved, that means anyone here, everyone here, you have the opportunity and you have the responsibility to be rich. And to be rich towards God. But something else we're going to find out as we go through these verses. Here in Jesus' teaching in this section, we're going to discover that there are two natural tendencies that we all possess. We all possess them because we all possess a sinful, fallen flesh. And in that, our sinful, fallen flesh, there are two natural tendencies that are going to be fighting against this pursuit of being rich towards God. Fighting against us pursuing a life that says, I trust God and I treasure God. Let me give you those two tendencies that are going to be there fighting. I'm going to give them to you in several different ways, and whichever way maybe will stick in your mind and your heart. One's the one we're going to begin to talk about today, is a sinful coveting. A sinful coveting of the things of this world. And the second one's going to be sinful concern about the things of this world. You maybe could put it like this. There's going to be sometimes what's going to fight because of our flesh is we want too much. And sometimes it's going to be because we're going to worry too much. whether it's about finances or wealth or fear and worry. All that comes back to is our trust in God and our treasuring of God. You think about those two, they're really on opposite ends of the spectrum. On one end, you have someone that's coveting the life of comfort. That they're coveting the blessings of life, if you want to say. How can I eat, drink, and be merry? On the other end, he's going to address the sinful issue that people will be dealing with as someone who is concerned just about the basic necessities of life. You could go from someone who said today, who may be sitting here and saying, you know, do I have enough facilities to store all of my goods? And someone else sitting here today who says, do I even have enough food to feed my family today? Someone saying, do I have enough room for everything that I have? Or there may be someone sitting here today, do I have enough rice just to satisfy and meet the needs of my life and my family? You see, beloved, either situation, or if probably for most of us, we're someone in between. We need to recognize that what God's calling on us to do is to live a life by which we are trusting God and treasuring God. Because it is very easy, beloved, for us to forget God because of our riches or be fearful because of our lack of riches and fail to trust God, fail to treasure God because of worry, because of our wants, because of concern, because of coveting. Now notice when you look back in verse 13, all this gets started because one person from this massive crowd spoke up to Jesus. And from that one statement that he makes in verse 13, Jesus begins speaking in verse 14 and doesn't stop until verse 59, which tells you this man and the crowd got way more than what they were expecting when this statement was made. And that's because Jesus knows everyone there is not worried about dividing up an inheritance. He knows there are going to be some there that are worried about what are they going to eat? What are they going to drink? What are they going to wear? He knows the fundamental issue behind both of those situations is a heart of trust and treasuring of God. This morning, I want us to begin to focus on the portion I read, verses 13 to 21, because it is there that Jesus is going to address the sinful coveting that we have to fight. The coveting of the things of this world. In order for us to be rich towards God, we're going to have to be willing to put that to death in our heart and our life so that we live a life of trust, a life of treasuring Him. Now, I've broken down verses 13 to 21 into five parts for us. We're probably just going to cover three of them today. And the first part that I want us to see, where Jesus is trying to teach this man and his brother and the crowd about the sinfulness in their heart of coveting, is found there in the very beginning of verse 13 in what I call the setting for this event, the setting for this statement. Someone in the crowd says to Jesus, someone from amongst this massive crowd. Remember what we saw at the beginning of chapter 12. There are thousands upon thousands. They are so crammed in around him, they're stepping on top of one another. And some man in the crowd took the liberty to speak out while Jesus was talking. Maybe Jesus had a pause. But the setting for this statement that he makes speaks volumes as to where this man's heart is. Where his heart is. Because you think about it, as we've studied together the last few weeks, verses 1 through 12, that has been a very sobering section of Scripture. Sobering words of Jesus that he was teaching. He was teaching about hell. He was teaching about eternal hell. He was teaching about the judgment of God. He was teaching about the possibility of being excluded from the opportunity to be forgiven of one's sins from blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. He was teaching about having a fear of God. And in the midst of that, this man gets his one shot to say something, to ask something, to get the attention of Jesus. And what's the most important thing on his mind in the middle of all that? Money. Wealth. Getting what he thinks is his portion of his family inheritance. Think about it. How about ask the question, Lord, would you mind explaining a little more to us, and especially to me, exactly what you mean by the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit? Because I am afraid maybe I've committed it. Or could you tell us more about hell? More about how and when and why the Lord God's going to actually throw people into hell? I don't want to go there. No, beloved, when one's heart is consumed by greed, by the hunger for the things of the world, and not for God, and not for the things of God, or they don't even really have a concern for their soul. They don't have a concern for their standing with God. And I believe this man didn't have that, because when you're going to read next week, when we get more into the story that Jesus is going to tell, he's going to let it be known there, this man doesn't seem to have a concern for his soul or his standing with God. That's why he or she can come and listen to gospel messages, messages about hell, messages about forgiveness, messages about judgment from God, and it never registers with them. No interest comes out of that, because that's not what they're there to hear. That's not what they're concerned about. Far too many people come to churches week after week, and what they want to hear is just give me something in regards to my temporal life, the temporal things of this life, but they're not interested in the spiritual. They're not as interested in the eternal matters of life, being focused and invested in God and the things of God. That's what even just the very setting here tells us about this man. Secondly, the second part, think about this morning. I've called it the statement of the man. The statement this man makes there in verse 13. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Now look closely what that man says. Again, thinking about the setting. Remember, Jesus is in the midst of teaching about hell, teaching about judgment. And he's not asking if Jesus will hear his case, hear the situation to make a more informed decision. Please notice very carefully, he orders Jesus. He orders him. Just like Martha did back in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, when she was upset because Mary had stopped serving. Remember, she comes rushing back into him and says, Lord, don't you care about me? Tell my sister to get up and come help me. She was commanding Jesus to do something. That's what he's doing here. He's ordering Jesus to order his brother to divide up the family inheritance with him. It's the way it often happens, right? Someone comes to another and says, fix him. Make him do what I want him to do. Or make him or her stop doing what I want him or her to do, not ever thinking about themselves. He doesn't recognize right now even his own heart of greed. He has the same heart of greed that his brother does. This man has the same problem that his brother does. He has a heart of greed, a heart of covetousness. It's just that apparently his brother is in the position of control. That's the situation. His brother's just is in the position of control at this point. Most likely his brother's the older brother. In the law, what it said, that the inheritance goes in the older brother, he's going to have more responsibility of things to take care of and helping to divide things out. But the brother hasn't done it. And as I look at the story Jesus will tell for these two brothers, here's what I think is also very important. I don't think either of them are in need of the inheritance. Both have enough. The problem is both just want more. They're fighting over the abundance for them. See, that's where this falls into. This falls into an abundance for them. That is, what both of them are really fighting about is, I want to live, how comfortable of a life can I live? Thus I can eat and drink and just be merry and never have to do anything ever again. This brother's inaction seems to be demonstrating that. And again, this is how oftentimes it can happen in our heart and our life. We're usually squabbling over the abundances. It doesn't matter how much it may be. We're just squabbling over the abundances. Not that any party's in need of something here. And we're going to see it's because of greed. Because if you look at his statement, you might not think there's greed there, but there is. There's greed in his heart. And that leads us to the next part, what Jesus is going to say. The third part, the statements of Jesus. In verse 14 and in verse 15. Notice the first statement he makes is to the man himself, even though he's really including his brother too. And the reason I say that is because at the end of verse 14, when he says, man who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you, the you there is in the plural, saying I'm talking about both you guys. Who appointed me to do this over you guys? And then also notice in verse 15, he's at least speaking to them, to the brothers, and not really the whole crowd can listen to this. But Jesus' statement is directed, at least at the very least, directly to them. And in this statement to the man, when Jesus says, man, who appointed me a judge and arbitrator over you? He is letting him and really his brother know they should be thinking about bigger and more important things right now. He has a bigger purpose and agenda. What they should be thinking about and realizing is Jesus as judge for them in the judgment that is to come. Jesus' judgment of those that will reject him. Jesus who will judge those who fail to recognize him. Jesus who will judge those that fail to recognize the times in which they were living at that very moment, seeing all the things unfolding before their eyes. Again, Jesus has been talking about people going to hell. And they're thinking about how comfortable can my life be, this life. They're not thinking about the day of judgment. They're not thinking about the life to come. Where that may be for them, they're just concerned about this life. And that statement he makes there in verse 14 is driving that home to them. See, beloved, that's what a love of the world, a love of money, a love of wealth, that's just what a heart of greed will do. It will be blind. It will be blind to the more important things in life. When you stop and think about it, it was greed. The greed for power. The greed for glory. the greed for the approval of man that kept so many people during these days when Jesus was here preaching and teaching and doing all the miracles, kept so many people from actually recognizing Jesus as their Messiah and King. Far too many times people respond to the gospel or fail to respond to the gospel because of greed. And here's how it can come out. Someone can hear the gospel and understand the gospel and their need of Christ. And here's how it will come out of their heart, if not from their very lips, just in their heart and in their thinking and how they will respond. Well, first let me do this. I hear my need of Christ, but let me first secure my life financially. Let me first go and enjoy a lot of other things. Then I'll come back and give my life to Christ. Beloved, if you think that way, as we're going to see when we get into the story, that's the way a fool thinks. A fool thinks that. Because in the story what Jesus is telling them about this rich man, and he's making all these plans. Let me first do all these things until God comes in and says, "You fool, actually this night your soul's going to be required of you." And when we think about what that means, it's going to be a very humbling reality. Then notice in verse 15, here Jesus speaks to both of them. He's issuing them a warning. See, we're really getting another warning from Jesus. Verse 1, he warned about hypocrisy. Here in verse 15, in this scenario, he's warning about the sin of covetousness, the sin of greed. When he says there, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." That word for greed there oftentimes in the scriptures is actually translated as covet, coveting. What does it mean by that? It just means simply to thirst to have more. To be wanting what others may have. God's word says that greed or coveting is a form of idolatry. And those who practice it will not inherit the kingdom of God. It tells us that in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6. And if you remember over in Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 5, it says, "No covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." No one does. Prideful greed was at the heart of Satan's fall. Think about it. Satan is described as potentially being this beautiful, angelic being, elevated in responsibilities in the angelic realm. And basically he said, "I want more. That's not enough for me. I want more. I want to be like God. In fact, I want to be God." Go back to the sin of Eve. She had access to beautiful, lush food and fruit from a wide variety of trees. You ever something about, you know how long it may have taken her and Adam to go through and just to try at least one bite out of every tree? But God had provided them. Not only that, God had given her and Adam wisdom. They had given her and Adam access to Him, who is the source of all wisdom. He had given them the ability to think and to reason and to learn and to grow and to trust Him. But what was it? Sinful, prideful, greed. And Eve said, "That's not enough. That's not enough for me." We were just reading. It always strikes me at times when the Lord providentially does this is what happened there with Achan. Pete was reading it this morning in our Old Testament scripture reading. What was the sin that led to his death and the death of his family? Coveting. God gave them all these things, but God said, this is a ban on these things right here. You cannot take these things. And he comes in and he looks at him, he says, what God's given us is not enough. I got to have that too. I've got to have more. I know God's given me more than I need. I know God's given me plenty, but I've got to have more. You could go to the life of Judas Iscariot. He sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Did it satisfy him? No. Was Eve and Adam satisfied? No. As God's word says, I want you to look over here for just a moment. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 just to remind you of this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul is reminding the people of not getting pulled away by a different doctrine and staying true to sound words, because there are some people that were conceited in verse 4 and understand nothing. He even describes them there at the end of verse 5 as those who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. And he says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Warning them about the sin of coveting, the sin of greed, the sin of discontentment. Love of money will bring all sorts of evil into someone's life. It can be destructive to them. A love of the world and the things of the world, as it happened to Demas, as we know that the love of the world pulled him away. See, this is the philosophy of life that says the person with the most stuff, whether the most money, the most possessions, the most toys, that's the person who wins. This is even the philosophy of religion that's promoted by some that says monetary and material prosperity is a sign of divine blessing and approval. But beloved, if you ever begin to think that way, I want you to remember the words of Jesus. The words that Jesus spoke to the church at Laodicea. He'll help you put that idea to death and to bed in your mind. Because here's what he said to them. He says, because you say, this is what they were saying, I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I need nothing. He said to them, you don't know that you're actually wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. And you're naked. You see? They would say to themselves and as a church, we are a rich, wealthy, well-to-do church. We must be under the divine blessing of God. And Jesus says, no, actually what you don't realize is you're actually all blind. You're poor. You're bankrupt. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're naked. You better come to me for what you need. You're fooling yourself. I'm saying, don't do that. Let's go back to our text in Luke 12. So what is it that Jesus wants us to do? What is it he wanted these men to do? This crowd to do? We'll look back in verse 15. Beware and be on your guard. That is, be on the lookout. Be proactive. Make sure you recognize when you see greed popping up in your heart, when you see coveting popping up in your heart. And he says, and be on your guard. That is, you've got to put some fence around it. You've got to protect yourself, protect your heart. We have to be diligent and be quick to deal with discontentment, quick to deal with jealousy, quick to deal with envy, quick to deal with greed. And notice what he says there. Be on your guard against every form of greed. All greed. It takes on a variety of forms. Remember, this greed or this coveting is when it says, I want something more. And a lot of times what will happen is, I want something more than what God has said I can have. I would have to fight with my own heart if I have a desire at some point to be married again, to not let that become something I covet, becomes an idol to me. It could happen where we're coveting a job. We're coveting things in the church. We're coveting things in our marriages. Like, I want to have that role. I want to have those responsibilities. I want these things. Or we can say, I know God's given me this kind of authority as the husband and the father, but I want this authority. And I'm going to stretch it as far as I can stretch it. Beloved, that's coming from a sinful heart and a form of greed and coveting. We can have forms of greed where I'm coveting, we're coveting pleasures in regards to just a certain way of life or a certain standard of life. There's nothing wrong with desiring a certain way of life or a certain standard of life, but when it becomes our idol and we're saying, I've got to have that, that's when you know you're coveting something. And you need to be aware of that and be on guard against it. Coveting pleasure, prosperity, possessions, power, position. Think about in the political world. There's a lot of coveting that happens. And it's interesting because in a way, when we think about even our capitalistic system, it's built on people seeking their own self-interest. And again, it's nothing wrong with us wanting things. There's nothing wrong with us buying things. There's nothing wrong with us having things. And when we get into it next week, we're going to see when Jesus starts telling the story, it's not wrong for someone to be rich. It's not wrong for someone to expand their business. It's not wrong. But you're going to see as he tells the story why for this man it's coming out of a heart of greed, of coveting. And please notice what Jesus says there at the end of verse 15. Why do you need to beware? Why do you need to be on guard against every form of greed? Because as we said, for not even when you have an abundance, when you have more than what you need, when you have more than enough, that's not what your life really consists of. That's not what true life is about. This life is not about the things or how many things we have or how little things we have. And what's our life about? Our life is about Christ. Our life is about God. That's what he's driving home to them. That's what he's wanting these men to see, this man who asked the question, and more than likely of his brother standing there by him and with him. And he wants the crowd, he wants his disciples to hear this. He really wants them to think the way the Apostle Paul thinks. For me to live is Christ. And I've learned to be content when I have an abundance and when I have poverty. You see, the rich and the poor can both struggle with greed, with coveting. Just want more. I want more. And it often, beloved, as I said, will happen subtly in our heart and our life. And when it does, and when you begin to see it, what we need to do, and I'm just going to close with this, we need to heed the words of Jesus, just beware. Beware of it. Be on your guard against it. And as we're going to eventually find out when we get to the last part of this, the so what is, so then be rich towards God. Just be rich towards God. And trust Him. See, because Jesus, again, He doesn't have a problem telling people what to do. In verse 14, when He says, "Man, who appointed me a judge and an arbitrator over you?" It's not because He has a problem telling people what to do. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Him? Jesus told him what to do. He said, "Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Then come back and follow me." I mean, He doesn't mind telling people what to do. Look down in verse 33. "Sell your possessions. Give to the charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out." He doesn't mind doing that. But He's wanting these guys to see. And especially this man asking the question. He's needing to fight his heart of greed here. And beware of it. And now be on guard against it and put it to death. And what he needs to be more concerned about is being rich towards and in God, in Christ. So I ask you this morning, are you rich towards God? Are there some areas in your life where you say, you know, if I'm honest, I struggle. I struggle with, I want more. I want more even what's allotted to me. I want more. Confess that before the Lord. Trust in the blood of Christ as the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe God's opening your eyes today to help you to see that you've not been a believer, that this is your whole life. That when we read and get into the story next week, you're going to find that's me. I live my life with no thought really of God. I live my life no thought of God. Confess your sins. Put your faith in Christ. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer. I want to give you a moment to reflect on what you've heard, what maybe the Spirit of God's been convicting and working in your heart right now, and I want you to just begin to respond to the Lord, respond to His Word. Oh, gracious God, Lord God, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the warning You've issued today about coveting. Lord, help us to take to heart the need to beware and to be on guard. To recognize that our life does not consist in our possessions, even in the abundance of things we may have, or even in the lack of things we may have. Help us to see our life is in Christ, the treasure of Christ, of who He is. Lord, bless your word, saving souls. Bless your word and making us more like Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.